So we read from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Hear the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100, 60, or 30-fold. Gospel of the Lord. The commentators tell us that this series of parables and explanations in chapter 13 are very ancient and reflect the direct discourse between Jesus and his Jewish followers and adversaries. They tell us that Matthew is using them in order to explain to his Christian community some 40 years later just how they are experiencing the Christian life, some more successfully than others. There are many levels of success as well as some failings in the local community. The seed is the perfect image when one is speaking to Galilean farmers. We would also call to mind that the agricultural practices of the time were very different than our own. The sower casts the seed prior to plowing so that he would have much less control over our neat planting methods. Also, the plowing could bunch the seeds together and not give the individual seedlings enough space for maximum productivity. Every year, I broadcast many seeds for my spring flowers and vegetables, and I find that the spacing is the most critical contribution for a successful growth. But already I stray from the central point. The seed is the miracle in itself. The process of life and seeming death is a wonder that never fails to astonish and surprise me. That such beauty, variety, and productivity could come from the seed is always a source of wonder. I pay special attention to the maverick plant that is awkward and troublesome in the early stages of transplanting, and then turns out to be the most productive and beautiful of all the plants. Good image for the Christian life, probably. Over the years, I've become far more respectful of the role that the earth plays in all of this, and I find that my attention to developing and composting the soil is a major contribution to a successful crop. This really doesn't apply to everyone, certainly not to many of my Dominican brothers, but I find that just being down in the soil on your hands and knees has an incredible healing and reviving effect in the midst of our busy and hectic lives, and often too cerebral lives, for that matter. And so, Matthew is using this model to explain and identify the progress of his community in the following of Christ. This gives us the opportunity to measure our own immersion in Christ's promises and perhaps to become inspired to a greater opening of soul to God's generous, simple, and surprising reality. But I like Matthew's images. He keeps it simple, roots our religious awakening in an experience that's available to all of us. I could go on about people in our society who only experience plastic-wrapped, prepackaged, prepared foods and only have a lingering hint of real taste, texture, and nutritional value. I will limit myself to one remark of a much longer tirade. For a real chicken taste, the chicken must have eaten bugs. In Kenya, if I preached successfully, I would sometimes be rewarded with a live chicken. I have to concede that it's easier on the back seat of the car to bring home a prepackaged frozen variety. But this is the point. We're often starving for real spiritual flavor. An application of Matthew's text would have us examine the shortcuts and artificial substitutions that sometimes thwart our spiritual development. Get down in the dirt and experience firsthand the wonder of God's gifts. Give yourself time and leisure to slowly experience the full range and wonder of life's blessings and opportunities. Jesus' simple garden model could allow us to bring our spirit fully to life, to resonate in our own consciousness and physical awareness the wonder of God's generous, miraculous presence in all of creation. When this sort of consciousness informs us deep in the center of our lives, it can lead to an exciting reflection of God's creative love. Alive within us, we resonate with the beauty, variety, and hundredfold gifts of the world and all the people around us. We're alive with the gift of praise. And to think, only a small, ordinary seed can surprise us with such joyful fulfillment.